Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.
Hey guys, David Niles here with Adam Minahan from the Catholic Man Show. We're going to get to the episode in just a second, but before we do, I want to share a couple things that we have going on here at the Catholic Man Show with you. I want to share them with you because... they're exciting, and I want to tell you how you can get them either for free or at cost, okay? So, I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. He goes by the name of St. Maximilian Kolbe, okay? He's kind of a big deal, kind of Mr. Big Deal. Mm-hmm. His feast day is coming up, and we just launched a new shirt, a Maximilian Kolbe shirt. I have a daughter whose middle name is Kolbe,
okay? Ooh, that's true, yes.
Yeah, so he's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so go to thecatholicmanshow.com. You can check it out. Anybody can get it there. However, if you're a Patreon member, you can get it at cost.
Yeah, and the design is one of a kind. It's super cool.
It does not exist otherwhere.
Yeah, we had a guy design it. The beard has both the crowns that he accepted from Mary when he was a young kid. It's a sweet shirt.
It's very, very incredible. So if you want to get it at cost and you've been like, oh, you know, Patreon, Council of Man sounds awesome, do it. Okay, you can get it at cost. A couple other things that we have that we're offering to our Patreon members is the Minahan family and the Niles family, and I include the family because it's Adam and I, in conjunction with our wives, have been writing a series for the local magazine, the Eastern Oklahoma Catholic Magazine, on the domestic church, and we make sure to share all those articles with our Patreon members.
It's a 10-part series.
10-part series.
And we're on number 7. We just released number 7.
Right.
And it's with, as you said, it's with our wives, so you know it's good.
Right.
You know it's going to be a good series because our wives are involved.
Right. It's not just a bunch of sarcastic stuff.
Right.
Because of the women.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Naturally.
Another thing coming up is our camp out.
Big deal.
The camp out is always awesome. It's in September this year. It's not in October.
Right.
The weather has been destroying us in October, so we're like, all right, Lord, we get
fine,
it.
Fine.
You don't want us to have the camp out in October, so we're moving it to September 17th through the
20th.
The 20th.
Clear Creek Abbey.
At the Abbey, Clear Creek. If you've never been there, then you just don't even realize what you're missing. Come to our camp out. As always, Patreon members get to sign up first. We only have limited spots available.
Correct.
And so if you want to make sure that you can get to come to the camp out, you got to be a Patreon member.
And you get to go for free. You don't have to pay.
That's right.
You get to go for free.
Patreon members pay nothing.
And if you are not a Patreon member, it only costs you $40 for the whole weekend. And Juan cooks the whole weekend.
Right.
So it's well worth the money.
That is absolutely true. Finally, the last thing that we want to talk to you about today and that we're going to preview at the end of the episode. So make sure that you stick around after the episode is done because we're going to give you a sneak peek of some of the professional audio recordings that we have commissioned for our Patreon members.
Right. A little glimpse, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's of St. Thomas Aquinas. He wrote a letter.
A letter.
Yeah. On kingship to a king.
King of France?
King of France, yeah. He's like, he said, like, I don't really know.
Was it his birthday or something? He was trying to come up with what gift do you give a king? And he's like, I don't know, but basically my wisdom is the greatest gift I could give. I mean, that's probably not exactly what he thought, but it seems like that's what
we're basically summing up the first paragraph.
Yeah, let me sum up.
So anyway, we're going to give you a sneak peek of that because I absolutely love it. It's an opportunity to be able to take the treasures that the church has given us and be able to listen to it in a very high quality audio.
And so we've been audio booking. We've been audio-fying something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many of the church's great encyclicals, and we continue to, you know, have these done on a regular basis.
Once a month, we release it to the Patreon members.
Right. Exactly. And it's only for them.
Right.
You can't get it anywhere else. You got to be a Patreon member. And there's all different levels of Patreon. You don't got to be, you don't got to be rich to support us on Patreon.
No.
So please go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow and, you know, just check it out. And we would love to have you support our show so that we can continue to do good things for the men of this world.
That I think we should just get to the episode.
Yeah, let's just go.
Now?
Yes. Okay.
Enjoy.
Today, I am here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys? I gotta say, I love this concept of the show.
Warning: The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting in studio with David, the David Niles, Don David.
Present. Present.
Knew you were going to say that. It's good to have you back. It's good
Thank
to be
you.
Back.
It's good to be back, yeah.
It feels good to be back in the studio.
It does.
We took a little hiatus. We recorded several in a row, and then we took like 2 weeks off.
Yeah, I mean, we had stuff in the can.
Right, which is very abnormal for us.
The way to go. It's the way to go.
So it's really nice.
You can do it if you can pull it off.
Right. It's really nice to be back, hanging out with you. This is like the first time that I've actually seen you.
And I brought the Michigan weather back with us. I don't know if you realize
that. It was beautiful
today. The last 2 days have just been...
Amazing.
Pretty prime.
But this is my first time to see you since the vacation, for 2 weeks. So we have...
Life has been good, though.
We have a ton of... Life has been good without you. Yeah. I'm really glad that...
I meant that, like, in spite of everything, life has been good.
Good. We have Juan on the buttons this evening. Thank you, Juan, for all of your help. We have Jim.
Don Juan.
Hanging out with us this evening as well. Man, we have so much...
Who's Jim?
Mr. Jim Spencer.
Oh, the Spinster. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. We need to get a Spencer cam. That would be awesome. We could put it like up
We're
there in the corner where it's facing
Jim,
this way.
The thing is, we would never tell you.
Yeah, we'll just do it.
Secret.
I'm so excited about...
That would be so funny.
It would be funny.
And like, the thing is, he watches the live stream over there, so he would know. Within about 10 to 15 seconds, because there's a delay, but he would know. Mm-hmm. We could get about 15 seconds of solid Jim Spencer content.
Yeah. Before
aware. The gig was up.
Yeah. I do want to say that we've got quite a few listeners, and we've had some messages. By the way, if you send us an email over the last 2 weeks, we are way behind on emails. We will hopefully get to it soon.
I'm like 3 years behind on my email.
Yeah. But we have got some messages, people saying like, hey, just get to the topic. And listen, that's not what we do on the show. If you're a new listener.
Right. Look, if you don't like it, go start your own show, okay? This is our show.
The first thing we do is we open review and enjoy a beverage.
Right.
And
we're
out.
We're not giving it up.
We're not giving that part up.
So stop it.
The second thing we do is we normally highlight a man gear of some type. Tonight we're not highlighting a gear, but we're...
You know, it's more like 50-50 these days on the man gear.
It is, yes. And then the last thing we do is have a topic. So if you're a topic only guy, you can cut halfway through the episode.
Right.
And
the show goes in segments of 12 minutes. Okay.
Right. This is a 4-year tradition and we're not changing it.
No.
So, this evening we're having some Glen Scotia Victorian. It is a single malt
and
Scotch whiskey.
Exceptionally rare.
And
it even says so on the bottle.
Campbelltown. which is the smallest whiskey producing region in Scotland.
Campbelltown? That Campbelltown. Does not even sound like a town in Scotland.
Yep. There's only three distilleries in there. And
now, if you said it was Cumblayton, that maybe I could go with, but Campbelltown?
Sorry. Campbelltown.
Do they make soup?
Campbell soup. Yeah, I guess so. So it's a small region. Only three distilleries are producing whiskey currently. At the peak, they had 30.
Okay, so if my hand is Scotland.
It's in the far the bottom, very bottom of Scotland.
It's in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So let's try it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. So again, this is Glen Scotia Victorina.
Butterscotch in the nose. Mm.
There is butterscotch in the nose. Oh, nice. Let me give you the official tasting notes. The official.
You always act surprised, like, hey, actually, you're right. There is that.
Well, most of the time, you're not. Most of the time, you're not right.
Well, when I said that, I already knew you were going to be impressed. And then you did it. You did exactly what I thought you would. Like, yes.
I got him.
I got one.
So on the nose, it says, an elegant nose with hints of oak driving the bouquet. Interesting cream brulee notes leading to a generous caramelized fruits and finally polished oak on the nose. On the palate, sweet and concentrated start with some jammy blackcurrant fruitiness. A big mid palate, typically tightening towards the back palate, becomes more austere with water, which we have not added. The finish is clean, initially sweet. The green bean with coca characteristic.
Green bean. I have never, ever encountered green bean in the tasting notes of a whiskey.
Me either.
One green bean.
I do get...
It's not green beans. It's singular. It's in the singular, which I think is interesting.
I do catch the caramelized...
Little green bean.
The cream brulee, the caramelized sugar...
Yeah.
On the nose. I think that's probably the butterscotch that you're catching.
It doesn't taste like what I thought. The taste and the smell are kind of different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I like the taste.
Wow, that is that
smells
is
night really
and
sweet.
Day.
And then it doesn't taste. I was ready for some.
That was interesting. That's probably the most interesting difference in nose and palate that I think I've ever encountered.
Yeah.
It is super fruity, jammy. On the palate, but you do not taste that
on the nose.
Not smell that on the nose. Like, it smells very like green apple, or it tastes very green apple.
Green bean.
There's melon.
Green bean.
It's very weird. Juan, do you think that it's very interesting?
I didn't expect to have such a long finish. For how sweet it smells.
It is a very long finish. Like, it's still
hanging. He said that it's a long finish.
Still hanging in there with me.
Yeah, I that is a very interesting. So I really like this.
I like it.
I like the idea.
How much was it?
Oh, I think it was probably about $65.
Not bad.
I like this bottle because it's one that you can pull out with a group of buddies. You know, you have five buddies that you want to pull out. You want to
pull this out with five buddies?
Or three buddies, you know, if you're not as generous. And you, like, want to... impress, or you want to say, like, here's something I know that you probably haven't tried. Glen Scotia
This is the kind of bottle you get out, like, if your potential hopeful father-in-law comes over and you want to impress him.
Man, that is very interesting. Glen Scotia. I'll show the bottle here. It is very...
I knew you were going to hold it out.
And
you didn't do it.
I'm learning.
He can be taught.
I can be. Is very interesting. A very interesting.
I want to look at it. Would you look at it?
Bottle. Now, if you're thinking, like, why are you drinking on the show? You're a new listener. You're thinking, why are you drinking on the show? Google Catholic Answers Focused Catholic Man Show. We did a whole episode on why Catholics can drink, and that way you can go to that, and we don't have to rehash that every time.
Ooh, it's 93 proof.
93 proof.
51.5%.
Nice.
But the quick version is that God made the things of this earth good, and they should be enjoyed for their goodness. We always drink in moderation, and so that's why we're drinking on the show. Mm-hmm. And we like it.
We've had some really good episodes recently in the past. I really enjoyed the Theology of the Faith with Father Jim Cosgrove.
Yeah.
And such a I
weird,
loved...
Like, it's a weird thing to talk... It's kind of a weird topic.
but it was really good.
Good topic.
And then we had the Dignity and Vocation of Women with Dr. Christine Myers, which is a lot of fun.
She's incredible.
She was phenomenal on the show. So anyway, that was very good. Oh, hey, here's something else we got to talk about. The camp out.
Yes.
I've been teasing this out all day today that we're going to announce the dates to the camp out because no one knows yet.
Right.
Because I haven't like updated our website yet, which I will update tonight or tomorrow morning. And so you'll be able to sign up tomorrow if you want to go.
Correct.
You want to be the guy to tell the dates?
I don't remember them. September 17th?
Yes.
That it?
Yeah, you nailed it. September 7th.
Man, I am on fire tonight.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Man.
September 17th through the 20th. Now, it's at Clear Creek Abbey.
I'm going to go play the lottery after this.
If you haven't, this is our fourth annual campout.
Yeah.
Why don't you give them a little bit of a...
Social distancing before it was cool, okay?
Right.
Like, we make sure the tents are 6 feet apart.
And if you're Scott Bassett, you're a lot further... You're so far away.
So far.
Because you snore.
We're glad you're there, Scott.
He's one of our best friends, so it's okay. We can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what we do is we have about 40 guys that come out. I think that's going to be our limit this year. We'll see how that goes. But they travel from all over the U.S. and Canada. And we go to Clear Creek Monastery, which is by Tulsa. If you're flying in, we will provide the camping gear for you. Or whatever you need to make sure.
Yeah, whatever you need.
You can get there.
If having camping gear is an issue...
We will make sure that it's taken care of.
You know what? We'll solve it.
Yeah. If you're a Council of Man member or if you support us on Patreon, it's free. It's free for you to come.
Just sign up.
Juan cooks for us all weekend.
We need you to sign up.
Vinny and Juan cook for us all weekend, and we get to hang out... With a bunch of guys.
Eat with the monks.
Pray with the monks. Liturgy of the hours. Camp out. Fire. Pig roasting.
All kinds of stuff.
Also, yeah. So if you go to thecatholicmanshow.com, we will have sign-ups for that. If you are not a Patreon member, you can go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. And become a member. Get to go for free.
You should do that.
Be a lot of fun. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Just now over the break, I was asking, why do we say "hear, hear" after a toast? One of our listeners, Joshua Thaler, just informed me it's "hear, hear," H-E-A-R, like listening, like you can hear it, instead of H-E-R-E.
Like we are here.
Like,
yes.
I did not. Allow me to air my ignorance. I did not know that. So you're saying hear, hear, like I hear. I hear.
Yeah.
It's so like you heard.
Right.
I heard that. That's essentially
like,
what you're saying.
Amen, amen, I say to you.
Yes. Lend me your ears.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Anyway.
So tonight.
What are we talking about that? Because you said we're not doing a man gear today.
We're not doing a man gear today. So tonight we're going to talk about evangelization, but we're going to do the long scenic route. To evangelization.
Usually evangelization is so short.
Right. Yeah, especially with the new evangelization.
Right. Usually it just takes a couple minutes.
And then they're there.
And then they're baptized and in the church.
Right. So it's not going to be a man gear today. What we're going to talk about instead is like a challenge instead.
Okay.
So recently at our parish that has over 1,800 families, we had four, I believe, people come into the church. They were baptized or received into the church.
Yeah, big parish.
And
you know, that's unusual, though. To be fair, that's a little unusual.
Absolutely.
Usually we have a large, pretty large group.
Yeah. But I left a Holy Mass with my family, and I looked over at Haley and go, we're not doing anything. You know, we're not evangelizing at all, especially in our local area.
Right.
That it is completely unacceptable that there's 1,800 families that go to a parish and we can't get more than four people to join the church.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking about, like, well, what are we doing wrong? Like, how, like, what are we doing and how do we fix this? And not that I obviously have the answers, but I'm just trying to figure out, like,
we know you have the answers.
I don't, but I was frustrated with it. I was frustrated with this idea that, and then I started looking at, like, well, how do I, like, what do I do? And I was thinking, like, well, I have not invited anybody in the last, like, 6 months. I've not invited anybody to come to church with me.
Right.
And I was like, dang it. Okay. In the last, like, couple months, I haven't, like, made it a very big deal around my office, you know, that I'm Catholic, you know, or saying something about our feast day, or, like, I went to Holy Mass this Sunday, or I didn't say anything about, you know, being a son of God, yeah. You know? And so then I was like, okay, well, but yeah, that's sometimes weird.
Sometimes, you know, it is.
It's sometimes weird. Evangelization can be weird sometimes, especially if you don't have a relationship, like, a true relationship with Christ. So then I started thinking about, well, how does that, what does that look like? Because right. There's some guys that, like, you're friends with, and you can just tell, like, we, like, Robert Dalton, our buddy Robert Dalton, this guy will walk into the room and you realize he is an awesome dude. He is an awesome Catholic man.
He's got, like, that perma, like, smile, just the uber joy.
The joy, the peace, the understanding of Christ, you know, and, like, he just radiates Christianity. Like, you know, you just know this man has figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, Father Jim Cosgrove, when we had him over, he was another example. Like, he was not a weird evangelizing. Like, he was not trying to evangelize in a... Sometimes I think whenever we get... When we become Catholic, we get super excited. We get energetic. It's like we get... Remember, like, whenever we first, when you and I were coming back to the faith, we were listening to Catholic Answers all the time. We were, like, learning apologetics, and we were just, like, all in.
Let me beat you over the head with what I know.
Right. And it's like,
because
listen.
I like it.
Like, I know stuff, and I want you to know this.
You need to know it.
And
if you only knew this, it would fix everything.
Right. Yeah. Because, like, I know it now.
I'm going to fix you.
And it changed me.
Hang on one second. I'm going to fix you.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I was thinking about this, and I was just like, there are some guys out there, and I'm not putting down any type of evangelization.
Right.
Because I think that
the Lord can work with anything.
Right. And I urge you, in fact, that's the challenge today is to, when we say, like, love your neighbor, like, what if we actually loved our actual neighbors? Like,
the people
that live right, like, right next to you.
Next door to you.
You know, I have.
Do you think that's what he meant?
No. No way. No way, bro. But, like, I started thinking about this, and I was like, man, what if we just try, like, I had a little boy. We were at the park right outside of our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I had a probably 7 or 8 year old boy come up to me and said, what church do you go to? Would you like to come to my church? I go to Cedar Ridge Park Baptist Church. And I thought, wow.
Dang it.
That is impressive. Like, it wasn't weird. It was, like, very... He was a little kid, but he just nailed it. And I thought, man, I don't do that.
Inviting people to Mass is, like, something I think a lot of Catholics are afraid to do or don't think that, like, they should do. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with doing it. I think a lot of Catholics think, if I invite you to Mass, you won't get it. You'll have no idea what's going on, and it'll just be weird.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. In fact, it is kind of weird for them, but... I've heard just from experience, like from people's testimony who were invited to Mass, and they said, like, it was weird, but kind of in a, whoa, what is this? Like, when I go to service on Sunday, you know, that,
right.
You know, or whatever it is that you call it, like, it's not this. This is
different.
Right.
The reverence is clear, hopefully. Uh-huh. And so, like, I want to challenge men to become more active in their local parish and to try their best this week to come up with, there's one guy that you probably know that's either in your office, next to you in your cubicle, the guy next door that you say hi to every time you're mowing your yard. There's a guy that you've been in touch with that he knows you, you know him, and you haven't really brought up faith at all.
Right.
And I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to either invite him to Holy Mass or maybe the men's group. Like, the men's group, I think, or Knights of Columbus grouping or something like that, I think is a prime opportunity.
There's probably beer there. I mean, it's going to be like a normal male environment.
So I actually had the opportunity to do this last week. I had believe it or not, I had a customer that was willing to come, willing to let me see him.
Really?
Face to face, which was cool. And we had lunch, and he was talking. He goes, no one talks about faith anymore. Like, he said that out of the blue.
I'll talk.
And I was like,
right now,
buddy, how long do you have for lunch?
Right. Because I have nothing. My calendar is crushing.
Open.
It's crushingly empty.
I have things next Tuesday, and that's it. You know, like,
and that's an appointment with my coworker,
right? And I just started thinking, and I told him, like, we had this awesome long conversation, and then I pulled out the quote from G.K. Chesterton that said, you know, no one wants to talk about politics or religion, but those are really the only two important things that we should talk
about. The only things that are worth talking about.
Right. Anyway, we had a great conversation, and I invited him to come to St. Benedict's to check it out. He goes to Asbury Methodist.
Nice.
Anyway, so.
Well done.
But the only reason why, though, is because this guy brought it up first. Like, I wasn't courageous enough to bring it up about who I am. This is part of who I am. I'm you know, a son of God, and we are baptized, you know, and called to evangelize across the whole world.
Yeah.
And I rarely do it.
So one of the best compliments I've ever received was from a coworker of mine. He and I were just kind of getting to know each other, and he knew I was Catholic, and then at one point he said, "So you're actually Catholic?" And I think I said, like, you could say I'm super Catholic. I'm very Catholic. Mm-hmm. I'm very much about being Catholic. And then he said, "But you're also very normal." And I was like, "Thank you, bro.
Thank you."
Yes. Like, it really was. I took it as a very deep compliment, because he was like, "Wow, I thought religious people were like
weirdos, right?
Yeah, like carrying, like wearing a bunch of chains and stuff." And I was like, "Yeah."
As I hold my scapular, but and that's exactly what I want to talk about tonight. Is, like, you know, there's a lot of people who think it's weird, and it's because that people don't have a relationship with Jesus themselves before they try to share this relationship. Because once you have an encounter with Jesus, once you realize that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that he is the creator and you're the created, and that he reigns over everything that you have and that who you are, then it becomes part of you to where you don't actually have to put in a whole lot of effort.
Right. That's what I was going to say, is that if you really immerse yourself in the faith and you live the faith so that every day you are immersing yourself in the faith, you know, like, what's the feast day today?
Right. If you're living liturgically.
Like, the colors that you wear, even, like, that day. Are you wearing, the feast day of a martyr? Wear red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a solemnity? Wear white. I mean, like,
be intentional.
Little things. Do little, like, have the stuff, the smells and bells of your life match up with the smells and bells that are going on in Mass. And if you just live a Catholic life, then you will have a way of making your conversations Catholic. Even when you're talking about your favorite NFL team, it's still kind of the faith, kind of just
it radiates.
And it that way, it's not forced. It just kind of happens, right. And it's not weird anymore. It's just like, oh, well, you know, the Saints, they're my favorite because I'm going to be one.
Right.
Not so sure about you, but that's what I'm
I'm hoping for. Yes. So I've been reading a lot of Joseph Pieper recently. I've been just...
The Peepster.
I've been crushing.
I've
been crushing it. I've been crushing Peepster material.
Literally putting the books in a vice and just crushing them.
And so he talks a lot about... He talks about leisure, which we've done a whole show on, but I'll link that in our show notes. But so I kind of, like, pulled a lot of things that he's talked about into this episode tonight. In order to evangelize where it's not weird, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break, but to have this relationship with Jesus, in order to have this, this is a great formula to make it.
So you do have the answers. Earlier you said you didn't have the answers.
Joseph Pieper.
I knew you did.
So he says leisure to contemplation.
Wait.
To gratitude.
Nobody's listening to you right now.
To charity. To evangelization.
We're going to have to do that all over again.
All right. We'll do it again on the other side of the break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
So So, Adam, you've never been to Rome.
I know.
I keep telling you, you have to drop what you're doing and go.
Dude, it's on my bucket list.
It's on the bucket list. I know, man. Look, you've got St. Peter's Basilica. You've got Assisi, which is just a day trip away. I mean, the whole faith is just right there. Around every single corner in Rome is another church that will just blow your mind.
I know. So if you're like me, you want to go to Rome, but you don't know where to begin, check out our show notes. There's a banner that says Select International Tours. Click that banner. They know how to turn your bucket list into reality. They've been doing this for over 30 years, so they know what they're doing. Check it out. That's Select International Tours. All right, welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping on a little bit of this, having a little skosh of Glen Scotia. We're going to talk about evangelization. We were picking it up on the other side of the break, where we're trying our best to figure out like how not to evangelize in this weird way. You get these guys who are just so, you know, and I've been this guy where you just like, you fall in love with Jesus, you fall in love with his church, you start learning so many things, and because you've immersed your whole life in this understanding of what the church teaches, that you just want to share it with everybody.
Yeah.
It becomes part of your life and you try to share it with everybody. And so, but it becomes very weird for people who they're not at that stage of life.
Before we do like launch into this stuff, can I just give a couple of, these are tips from David Niles.
Oh yeah. For free?
These are free. Yeah. Okay. And I give them out for freely. I think it's a mistake to try to evangelize everyone. You can't do it. You're a finite person with finite resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing, though, that there are a couple people in your life that you feel like maybe you have a shot with anyway, you know, like just because you have a good relationship already, or that maybe you just feel it's on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
OK, so don't try to think, oh, yep, absolutely. The checkout guy at the grocery store. I mean, we should always be witnessing, right? So it's like, I'm not saying, nope, sorry, bro, I can't tell you about Jesus. You're not one of my three people.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that when it comes to like active evangelization, I think it's wise to maybe pray and, you know, hopefully you can discern who the people is that God's actually asking you to reach out to. Because, you know, if you're getting the guys checking out your groceries and you're like, hey, you want to come to Mass with me this weekend? It's not going to work.
Because you don't have a relationship with them.
You don't know that guy, right? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So then also, you cannot evangelize someone that you're not praying for. So if you honestly feel like this is somebody that I have been called to evangelize in a active way, then you have to be praying for them every day. So you pray for them. Maybe you know, do whatever it is that you feel God is asking you to do, whether fast for them,
mm-hmm.
or do whatever. And even possibly at some point you say, hey, I'm praying for you. I want you to come into like, if they know you want them to be Catholic, you've invited them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I am giving up candy until you join the church. I just want you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I freaking love candy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So please do it quickly. Okay. So I just think don't try to be Superman,
right?
And don't forget to pray for them,
right? Because
that's a huge thing. I think because
it's the Holy Spirit that converts.
Yeah,
it's the Holy Spirit that converts them.
If you're just trying to like you got this coworker,
right?
You should be praying for him every day.
Sure,
otherwise not going to work.
Right, I totally agree.
Okay
so I got to get So
that's all I wanted to say.
So if you're trying to be this guy, you know, the guys that, you know, there's some people that they just are naturally gifted with this. But
yeah,
if you're trying to be more authentically Christian, you're trying to be where it's like it's not hardcore, but you're just trying to have this radiance about you, about Christ's love. Joseph Pieper talks about several different things that we can do to help that. And the first thing he says is leisure. And leisure doesn't sound like would be the answer, right? But he has a book. It's called Leisure, The Basis of Culture.
You got to read it.
You got to read it. Leisure is essentially a non-activity. It's a form of silence. And leisure implies an attitude towards receptivity towards and willing immersion in reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understanding what reality is.
Right.
And he actually even says the essence of leisure is not to assure that we may function smoothly, but rather to assure that we, embedded in our social function, are enabled to remain fully human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like this is not something that
we also did an episode on leisure.
Right, right. And
people
we'll put
could go back and listen to. Yeah.
Sure. And I'll put that in their show notes. But leisure is not the same as a break. you know, like taking a break.
Right, or watching TV.
Right, a break, whether it's like for an hour or 3 weeks, is designed to provide a respite from work in anticipation of more work.
Right.
Okay, and it finds its justification in relation to work. But leisure is something entirely different. Oh, I got excited and I spilled a little bit of whiskey. Okay.
You know the good thing about these Glencairn glasses?
They don't spill very much.
Yeah, they don't spill very much. And even if you knock them over all the way, they still save you some.
Yes. But so leisure provides this ability to it's a form of silence. The ultimate leisure has a way of
ordering your life. That now you realize I'm working so I can rest, and that like rest is actually like
what we want to do.
This is what I'm shooting for right here.
In fact, you know, when we say eternal rest granted to them, O Lord, it's like we're wanting to rest in our Lord. In fact, we work all our lives so that we may rest in our Lord in heaven.
Yeah.
So
work itself is a function of the fall.
Exactly.
It was always leisure in the garden.
But providing this opportunity for silence it yields contemplation, being able to contemplate things.
Contemplatio.
Yes. And St. Teresa of Avila says, contemplative prayer, in my opinion, is nothing else than a close sharing between friends. It means taking time frequently to be alone with him who we know loves us. So, I mean, in fact, Joseph Pieper says in here...
Is that from The Interior Castle?
Yes, it is. In here it says, it has been interpreted to mean... I don't want to read all that. It says that to such a degree that the extent of man's happiness is only as great as his capacity for contemplation.
Yeah.
So, like, this joy that we have, the joy that these men have, that like just exude, like, this man is a man who reads Christ's life. He is a man of God. Like, odds are he has a contemplative life because he has this opportunity to understand who loves him and who he loves. And this goes back to like what Father Cosgrove was saying, like, adoration is nothing but more than letting him look at us as we look at him.
Right.
You know, allowing him to radiate his love on us so that we may love him.
Right. And the contemplatio leads to the meditatio, which is really just that, just the gaze of love. You know, like when you have a child firstborn and you just sit there and look at them.
Yeah, I know.
And you just love them.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart is pouring out. So hopefully the contemplation of God leads to this. And I don't know if I'm getting these backwards. Because to me, in my mind, honestly, contemplation and meditation are kind of the same, like for me practically. But one leads to the other.
Meditation leads to contemplation.
I think meditation leads to contemplation.
Yes.
Yeah. So you meditate on the things of God so that you can have this contemplatio, which is just this. It's really more of a pouring out of love, which has more to do with leisure.
Right. Yeah, and like
it's a restful thing,
right? Saint Gregory the Great says the contemplative life is to cling on with our whole mind to the love of God and our neighbor, and to desire nothing besides our Creator.
Mm.
I mean, it's like boom, there it is.
I will tell you, I cannot do that. My appetites are just. Out of whack.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, me too. But that's what happens, right? Is the more that you contemplate,
I pray about it a lot, though. Like,
yeah,
every day. That's what I struggle with. It's not so much sin. It's my appetites. It's
your disordered appetite.
Exactly.
You're wanting things that you don't.
I want things that I shouldn't.
Right. But see, that's the thing is like the more you contemplate, the more you realize what you appreciate reality for what it is.
Yeah.
And you appreciate like, listen, the Creator made all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm completely dependent upon him. And that's why the story of. You know, G.K. Chesterton, he was sitting there writing, he was looking out his window, and his wife was in the living room as he was in his study, and he looks out the window and yells, do you remember G.K. Chesterton's wife's name? I can't remember.
No,
it starts with
an
M, I think. Anyway, he calls her name and says, look, look. And he's like ecstatic. And she comes running in and goes, the grass is green.
Yes.
You know, and like the reality of...
And she's thinking like I've made a mistake.
Yeah,
a big
like my father. This guy has lost it.
My father told me I was making mistakes,
and I didn't listen to him.
Dang it!
But that the like learning like and understanding what reality is leads you to understand, like being grateful.
Right.
You know, so the leisure provides the opportunity to contemplate because it gives you this form of silence. It gives you this opportunity to do nothing but for its own end. You know, leisure is its own end. It's not something to
to
take a break from.
Exactly. It's not. So you don't leash? Do you leash? Does one leash?
Luge. No, I'm just
like if one has leisure. Oh, I'm leashing.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right.
But you don't leash so to do something else. Kind of like you said.
Right.
You just.
It's for its own end.
Right, exactly.
Which is why Holy Mass is the ultimate leisure.
Exactly.
So, but that.
And it doesn't have a purpose, really. It's just like. That's what you're doing.
So it provides the atmosphere to contemplate.
Right.
And contemplation, the more you know something for what it is, the more you appreciate what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you realize what reality is, the more you realize, the more you can love something. The more you know of something, the more you can love something, right?
The more you know about something else, the more you come to know about yourself because you can now more clearly see yourself in relation to that other thing.
Right.
Whether it's God or
your spouse
or part of creation.
Or your spouse. The more I came to know Haley, the more I loved Haley.
Exactly. But it also has a way of advancing you in humility because you have a truer gaze upon your own self as
right.
well because you see more accurately your place.
And how finite you are.
Right.
And so this brings up the opportunity to be grateful. Which is what Pieper talks about next. You know, so he's talking about leisure, he talks about contemplation, and then he talks about the gratitude. And we've actually done an episode. I think it was one of our first 20 episodes talking about being grateful, being a grateful man. And so you can go back and listen to that.
I don't even remember those.
Right. But, you know, so great, gratitude is being thankful for understanding reality for what it is. Understanding that I'm thankful for this, for what it is, because I understand this now.
Which will lead to joy. A grateful man is a joyful man.
Exactly. So when we get back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about gratitude, which leads to charity. All roads lead back to charity.
Caritas.
And then when you have the charity, evangelization becomes easy.
Word.
So we'll be right back.
You heard. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Adam, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What language do they speak in Brazil?
Portuguese.
That is correct.
We have an interview with people in Brazil.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the story.
Okay.
Adam was texting Juan and I, and I'm really glad that I was silent in this conversation. But Adam was like, hey, we have someone who's going to interview us in Brazil. Juan, maybe you could translate for us. And then Juan goes, I hope you know that they do not speak Spanish in Brazil. They speak Portuguese. And I was just laughing so hard because I was like, yeah, you dummy. Who would have thought? Oh, yeah, Portuguese.
I forgot about that language.
Oh, forget about Portuguese.
Yeah.
Like, why are they hanging on to that? Come on.
Switch over to Spanish.
So weird.
No. Okay. So we're talking about how to evangelize in an authentic way. We talked about leisure, yes. Which leads to contemplation, which leads to gratitude. Because the more you know something about something, the more you can be, the more you can love it.
The more you know.
The more you know.
The more
you
know.
Yeah. Reading Rainbow.
Right.
And so in the Catechism, it's in 2097, it says, to adore God is to acknowledge and respect the absolute submission, the nothingness of the creature who would not exist but for God. To adore God is to praise and exalt him and to humble oneself as Mary did in the Magnificat. You know, and so like, again, so it goes back to understanding who you are. It's very easy in this world to and especially as a man, to think that you solve all problems and that you are the alpha and the omega, the end all be all. And it's easy to get wrapped up in that thought process, even if you don't think you are wrapped up in that thought process.
Right.
And so to be able to step back and to contemplate and to have time in prayer leads you back to understanding how grateful you have to be as a Christian man, because God provides everything. and gives you everything. You can do nothing without him.
Right.
And the more that you are grateful, the more you love something. Right? The more the more your wife does actions of love for you, the more grateful you are for her, the more you love her.
Hopefully. Hopefully. The more grateful you are.
Yes. I mean, that's what something you're supposed to do.
Yeah. It should inspire gratitude.
In fact, so that's why it's so important to go to adoration.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this many times. Like, if you're not taking prayer life seriously, you need to, if you're not doing an hour of adoration a week, then you're not taking your prayer life seriously. And that's,
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you are serious about growing in virtue, and if you want to be as holy as you can, then I think that you need to, but you're not willing to commit an hour a week to adoration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously weeks are going to, there's going to be stuff that comes up where, you know, that's going to happen, you know, but if you're
don't
not
get
willing,
scrupulous
if you're
about
not,
it,
exactly,
right.
exactly. But if you're not willing to make the commitment, then I just really question whether or not you are serious about it at all.
Right. And then in the catechism, it even says to visit the Blessed Sacrament is a proof of gratitude, an expression of love, and a duty of adoration towards Christ, our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, you know, that is the ultimate. We can't do anything without Christ. So in order to spend time with him and to have leisurely time with him, meaning there's no end other than to waste time with Christ, will provide you the opportunity to not only grow in gratitude, but then grow in charity. You know, and charity is the theological virtue by which we love God above all things for his own sake. You know, we talk about this with Aquinas all the time. You know, Aquinas says, what is the definition of charity?
To love the other for their sake?
For their own sake.
Yeah.
And, you know, so Aquinas on charity he talks about that it's a friendship of man for God, and that it unites us to God.
It's also the virtue that will make you the most popular. And I say that from an evangelization standpoint. If you exude charity, then you will be that person that, like, we kind of talked about Robert Dalton, our friend, you know, mm-hmm. Then you will be that guy. You'll be the guy who's like, evangelization will become so easy for you because you'll be the guy that other people say, I want what he has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how you take the easy street to evangelization is by having a true charity, loving other people for their own sake. And that is something, it's not like you can just,
it has to be a habit.
It has to be something that you grind at.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hate it. You're going to think charity is the worst.
Because it's
and
hard.
It will feel that way. But
it's because it's denying yourself.
Right. And it's like whatever it is that you want to do the least, that's probably what God is going to ask you to do, you know, and the stuff that you just like, I'm willing to go this far for this other person, which is actually, you know, think like that's pretty nice of me that I'd be willing to go
right,
that far.
Right.
He's going to ask you to go a lot further,
right.
You know, if you decide to take this. To go down this road. You should.
And one of the times that I realized this the most is when I was reading the Diary of Faustina, which I highly recommend in adoration.
Yes,
we're talking about adoration as well. And so, like, if you're looking for a book to read in adoration is the Diary of Maria Faustina. Because she talks about, like, so this is a woman who loves God more than, like, I can comprehend and wants to unite her will with God more than most 99% of the people.
Our Lord gave her the title, the Apostle of Mercy.
Right, exactly. Just to throw that one out there.
Like, what has he called you lately?
Right. But Christ showed her how far she was actually from his will.
Yes. Oh, man, when I read that, I was like, great.
Yeah.
What am I even, why am I, I'm wasting my time.
Yeah. But so Aquinas talks about how charity is obviously the most excellent of all the virtues.
Uh-huh.
And he further says that it holds that the habit of charity extends to only, not only to God, but to also the love of neighbor. So in order to, you know, we talk about like the reason why friendship is so important is because it prepares you for the friendship of God in the next life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it unites us kind of in the body of Christ.
Right.
So, you know, in order to love God, a lot of times we have to love our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe literally the person who lives next door to you.
Right. And that's the weird thing that I think that we think this neighbor thing is so abstract. It's like, oh, some person that we'll meet someday.
Right.
At least that's how I think.
Who is my neighbor?
Yeah, like, you know, I almost feel like a Pharisee, like, asking God, but who is my neighbor, Lord?
Right, because, I mean, the people who live next to me, that's too obvious. I mean, it's surely something more mystical, right?
Right. I mean, even the neighbors next door to you have this sign out in their yard, a little yard sign that says, you know, talking about Life Church.
Right. I know. I was actually just thinking about them, like, oh, man, they'd be tough. I mean, like, they're super nice.
Right.
But, like, I couldn't do that because they already go to church. You know, they might.
No, but we're called to it. But the more but the more we grow in love of Christ.
Well, you know what? I'm using my kids to sneak attack evangelize
them. Oh, dude, I do that all the time. The importance of teaching your catechizing your kids is that they make it easier for you to evangelize.
They don't know it's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so like they have a daughter who comes and plays with my daughters and I'll like walk outside and their daughter will say, I'll hear, one time I heard her say, yeah, I don't want to play nuns anymore. But then, like, a week later, I heard her, it's like, well, do you want to play nuns? Like, the neighbor's daughter suggested playing nuns. And I'm willing to bet she didn't know what nuns were. She's like 7.
Right.
She probably didn't know really. She may maybe heard of nuns, but like,
right.
My daughters have, now she knows what nuns
are. She's planted the seeds.
And she could probably name some of them, you know?
Right. Right. But so the more you grow in this charity, you know, the more you grow in relationship with God, it's easier to grow in, you know, it's easier to grow in relations with mm-hmm. other people, to love other people, because you're loving them only for the love of our Lord.
Right.
And there's, then once you realize this, which I'm not, you know, obviously at it, but Pieper talks about how it's the fruits of charity are joy, peace, and mercy.
Mm.
So the more you love somebody, the more you love our Creator, the more at peace, the more at mercy,
mm-hmm.
you know, the more joy you have.
Right.
And so that joy, that peace, that mercy, like, just kind of exudes out of you, and people recognize that there's something different about you, which goes back to, you know, 1 Peter 3:16, when he talks about, you know, that defend your faith, but for the hope that is within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be willing to defend your faith with the hope that is within you.
You have to have the hope, first of all.
Right, you have to have hope before you can.
Because you cannot give what you do not have.
Right. And so that is what makes evangelization so much easier, is when you have this authentic, you know, friendship and love of our Lord, and you're loving your Lord so much that you're wanting to love other people only to bring them closer to the Lord.
Right.
You walk into almost the room and you say, like, this man, you know, reads the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. This man is a Christian man. I can tell by the way he carries himself. I can tell by the way he talks. I can tell by the way he acts. I can tell by the way he holds himself with his family. You know, like, there's a difference about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is the ultimate thing as a Christian, is Christ calls us, you know, to go and make disciples of all nations. You know, and like, that is a command that he gives us.
His last one.
The last command that he gives us is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that is a long-winded way of going back to how I was sitting at our parish a while back ago, and we only had 4 people coming into the church with 1,800 families in our parish, and I realized, I am not doing this.
It's your fault.
And how do we do it? How do we do it better?
Be the beans, Adam.
Be the beans. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about. Okay. I highly suggest reading Joseph Pieper. Google him. He's phenomenal. He's very Thomistic in thought.
But readable and not that long. His books are short.
They're essays, yeah. We drank a little bit of Glen Scotia this evening.
More on the Lord's team.
It's good to have you back, man.
Thank you.
On the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
De Regno. On Kingship to the King of Cyprus. By Thomas Aquinas. To the King of Cyprus. As I was turning over in my mind what I might present to your majesty as a gift, at once worthy of your royal highness and befitting my profession and office, it seemed to me a highly appropriate offering that, for a king, I should write a book on kingship, in which, so far as my ability permits, I should carefully expound, according to the authority of Holy Writ and the teachings of the philosophers, as well as the practices of worthy princes, both the origin of kingly government and the things which pertain to the office of a king, relying for the beginning, progress, and accomplishment of this work on the help of him who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, through whom kings rule, God, the mighty Lord, King great above all gods. Book 1, Chapter 1. What is meant by the word king? The first step in our undertaking must be to set forth what is to be understood by the term king. In all things which are ordered towards an end, wherein this or that course may be adopted, some directive principle is needed, through which the due end may be reached by the most direct route. A ship, for example, which moves in different directions according to the impulses of the changing winds, would never reach its destination were it not brought to port by the skill of the pilot. Now, man has an end to which his whole life and all his actions are ordered. For man is an intelligent agent, and it is clearly the part of an intelligent agent to act in the view of an end. Men also adopt different methods in proceeding towards their proposed end, as the diversity of men's pursuits and actions clearly indicates. Consequently, man needs some directive principle to guide him towards his end. To be sure, the light of reason is placed by nature in every man to guide him in his acts towards his end. Wherefore, if man were intended to live alone, as many animals do, he would require no other guide to his end. Each man would be a king unto himself, under God the highest king, inasmuch as he would direct himself in his acts by the light of reason given him from on high. Yet it is natural for man, more than for any other animal, to be a social and political animal, to live in a group. This is clearly a necessity of man's nature. For all other animals, nature has prepared food, hair as a covering, teeth, horns, claws as means of defense, or at least speed and flight, while man was made without any natural provisions for these things. Instead of all these, man was endowed with reason, by the use of which he could procure all these things for himself by the work of his hands. Now one man alone is not able to procure them all for himself, for one man could not sufficiently provide for life unassisted. It is therefore natural that man should live in the society of many. Moreover, all other animals are able to discern by inborn skill what is useful and what is injurious, even as the sheep naturally regards the wolf as his enemy. Some animals also recognize by natural skill certain medicinal herbs and other things necessary for their life. Man, on the contrary, has a natural knowledge of the things which are essential for his life only in a general fashion, inasmuch as he is able to attain knowledge of the particular things necessary for human life by reasoning from natural principles. But it is not possible for one man to arrive at a knowledge of all of these things by his own individual reason. It is therefore necessary for man to live in a multitude, so that one may assist his fellows, and different men may be occupied in seeking, by their reason, to make different discoveries, one, for example, in medicine, one in this, and another in that. This point is further and most plainly evidenced by the fact that the use of speech is a prerogative proper to man. By this means, one man is able fully to express his conceptions to others. Other animals, it is true, express their feelings to one another in a general way, as a dog may express anger by barking, and other animals give vent to other feelings in various fashions. But man communicates with his kind more completely than any other animal known to be gregarious, such as the crane, the ant, or the bee. With this in mind, Solomon says, "It is better that there be two than one, for they have the advantage of their company." If, then, it is natural for man to live in the society of many, it is necessary that there exist among men some means by which the group may be governed. For where there are many men together, and each one is looking after his own interest, the multitude would be broken up and scattered unless there were also an agency to take care of what appertains to the commonwealth. In like manner, the body of a man or any other animal would disintegrate unless there were a general ruling force within the body which watches over the common good of all members. With this in mind, Solomon says, "Where there is no governor, the people shall fall." Indeed, it is reasonable that this should happen, for what is proper and what is common are not identical.
Things differ by what is proper to each. They're united by what they have in common, but diversity of effects is due to diversity of causes. Consequently, there must exist something which impels toward the good of the many over and above that which impels towards the particular good of each individual. Wherefore also in all things that are ordained towards one end, one thing is found to rule the rest. Thus, in the corporeal universe, by the first body, i.e. the celestial body, the other bodies are regulated according to the order of divine providence, and all bodies are ruled by a rational creature. So too, in the individual man, the soul rules the body, and among the parts of the soul, the irascible and the concupiscible parts are ruled by reason. Likewise, among the members of a body, one, such as the heart or the head, is the principal and moves all the others. Therefore, in every multitude, there must be some governing power. Chapter 2. Different Kinds of Rule.
And there's just a little example of St. Thomas Aquinas on kingship. He continues to go, not surprisingly, in depth on what a king is, what a king should be, what a king should not be, the best type of government form to rule. The whole audio is about an hour and 50 minutes long. So it's almost basically like an audio book that we're giving our patrons for free. So if you want to catch that, and we also have Casta Canubi coming out. We just did an encyclical on St. Dominic, with it being his feast day this month. So we'd love your support. If you have been supporting us, we continue to thank you for your support. If you have in the past, we'd love to have your support again, but thank you for all your guys' prayers. Pray for the men joining RCIA this year. Pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis. Pray for your bishop. Pray for your parish priest. Pray for your wives, your children. And if you're wanting other men to pray with you, join us on Patreon. That's just another reason why you could join us. All the patrons get access to our private Facebook page, and we have a fast tracker. We have an Excel sheet that we keep that allows you to input your intentions, and then we all sacrifice on Friday. We offer up, we abstain from meat or another sacrifice on that intention. So we'd love to your support. Visit patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow to get this recording and all other recordings that we have over, I think, 40 different recordings that we have over there. So we'd love your support. Cheers to Jesus.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.